News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Sean, in for Dalton.
Hey, good morning.
With his mouse ears on right now, I guess, starting
that
his day in Orlando.
That poor guy. I've done the Disney thing with the kids, and God bless you, Dalton.
I talked to a mother of two young girls, and she said she swore it off. Never again. You know, parents are like, no, you got to go to Disney. It's like an obligation.
Yeah, it is.
She's like, no. You don't have to go to Disney,
I'm never
going back.
Yeah, I'm with her.
Yeah. It's 807 Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com, and of course, NOLA in New Orleans and The Advocate. Quinn, good morning. Happy Tuesday. And we're back at it after the election results from last week, exactly 1 week ago. There's some things to talk about there, huh?
Yes, indeed, there are. And it's not a Disney movie either.
No, it's not. It's real life. And what got your attention a week ago, Quinn?
Well, the biggest thing got my attention is that the gambling interests spent untold millions of dollars and got their butts kicked all over the place. Hmm. And which, you know, each individual race, I'm not saying it was great that the guy or gal that they targeted won or lost. I'm not saying, you know, who is better in each race, but the gambling folks lost in every single, it seemed almost every single race, certainly locally, that they poured their millions into, smearing candidates like Rusty Glover. And it's just amazing. They lost in Rusty Glover's, the seed Rusty Glover won. They lost in Greg Allbritton's seat. Greg Allbritton, you know, might have been a good guy, but he was seen as more pro-gambling, and that seemed to be the reason he lost. Over in Baldwin County, Matt Simpson, again, gambling wasn't his big issue, but his opponent, Danielle Duggar, that was one of her big issues, along with being anti-vax, and Matt Simpson got upset. The fact is that all of this sickening, tawdry, out-of-state gambling money, whether or not the candidates, you know, wanted the money to come in on their behalf or against their opponents, it came in, and yet the gamblers all lost, DraftKings and company. So that was huge. It showed that the Alabama electorate cannot be bought. In fact, there's probably a backlash against those nasty tactics.
Hmm.
So that's one. I could go on, but I mean, you might.
Yeah, Quinn, I want to jump in on a couple things here. Did the people go, did they know it was about gambling? I think what it was the ads, like you said, were nasty. Although I'll say on the case of Simpson and Duggar, the attack ads came from Duggar.
From her, yeah.
But I think people reacted like in the Harwell Glover race. It wasn't that they said, hey, that's for gambling. They said, hey, these attack ads are beyond the pale. I don't even know if they went to the next step. They're coming from the gambling people. They're like, but you got to know, out of state interests don't know people's character. When you attack somebody like Rusty Glover like that, and people know this guy, they went, wait a second, that's BS, you know?
Well, exactly. I'm just saying that the out-of-state gambling interests, because their candidates tended to lose all over the place, it showed that the big out-of-state money doesn't necessarily work, especially if it's seen as not fair, if it's not well targeted. It will make others from outside, especially ones who, by the way, won't file the proper reports with the state, it might make them think twice about just trying to get in and Bigfoot everybody and do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's like the money's one thing, Sean, but the messaging, like, yeah, they're a big gorilla to deal with, but if they misuse or everything's misguided in their messaging, they're just proliferating a bad message over and over again, basically hanging themselves.
Yeah, and that's what happened. And look, there are things to be said for Matt Simpson, things to be said for Greg Allbritton, and things to be said for for Doug Harwell, who's done a great job on the school board, that all got drowned out by the out-of-state gambling commercials, the money that they threw in. It's really not fair to the candidates that they're trying to support either.
You know, and the problem is, though, it's not a binary question on gambling in our state, and maybe these people spending money don't even understand the intricacy of it, because so many times on my show I have to go, hey, I wish I had a frequently asked questions. I could just press play for 20 minutes and go do something else and let those things air on my show, because people are like, why can't we have a lottery? And I've gone through it over the years. It's not just, hey, it's up for a vote. It's what the deal is, who comes in on it, Milt McGregor, Legacy Dog Track people, what do they want, what does PCI want, state needs money, all these people getting to agree. It's not just like there's a vote to yes or no.
Right.
And there's a lot more to it, I guess, is what I'm getting at, than just, yes, we're going to, like, they're pushing people are going to go in and vote, and yes, they're going to pass gambling. It's not that easy.
Well, it's not that easy, and so what they did, at least in the Rusty Glover race, they didn't even say they were about gambling. I mean, it's gambling money, but they pretended to be the conservative fund or whatever they called it, and they hit them on bogus taxes and spending stuff. They didn't even have the guts to say that they were coming in and opposing him because Rusty has voted against gambling. If they came in and said, and actually made gambling the issue, and then they could win or lose fair or square. This time they tried to change the subject, even though obviously their interest is not taxes and spending in Alabama. The interest of DraftKings is gambling, and they wouldn't even say that. Anyway, whatever happened, they got their butts kicked, and that's story number one.
Yeah, it's funny. It's either way, right? Like, the messaging was seen as so below the belt, people didn't appreciate that. And if you dug further and realized where this group, what they were all about, now you're looking at it like it's just a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? Like, they're not even being straight up about who they are. So on every level, they were rejected by the voting public.
Exactly. So that's the first thing that popped out. The second thing that popped out to me statewide is Jared Hudson making it into a runoff ahead of Steve Marshall, and I'm going to give Rob Hulbert and Lenyap the scalp there, because Hudson just barely eked in by 5,000 votes over Steve Marshall, and of course Lenyap for several years has reported on instance after instance of Steve Marshall acting in a way that maybe we wouldn't want a state attorney general to act. And I've got my own story. We've talked about it before, how Steve Marshall, for whatever bizarre reason, tried to stop Connie Hudson and the county commission from helping small business owners at the very beginning of COVID, when they were shut down by the state for nothing that they did. They were ordered to shut down, and Connie Hudson and company wanted to use a special fund that they had to recruit big out-of-state companies. They said, well, since right now we're not recruiting anybody, why don't we use that money for small existing companies to tide them over for the problems that the state itself is causing them? I mean, it's perfectly logical, and, you know, and it helped the backbone of our economy, these small mom-and-pop shops. And Steve Marshall came down and said, you can't do it. And he was wrong on the law, and it took a lot of work. As Connie Hudson, Steve Nodine, they told me. I got Chris Pringle involved, and we got the Examiner of Public Accounts to say, well, yes, you can do it. And so I don't know what the number was. I've got it written down somewhere. Something like 88 small businesses got some extra money to help them stay afloat during COVID, and Steve Marshall tried to block that. He ended up doing poorly in Mobile County, and I think that's part of it, but I think the reporting that Lenyap did might have made the difference there.
All right, so we're talking about the guy who's out in yes. Marshall. Let's talk about that guy who now is in Jared Hudson. How do you view his candidacy going forward?
somebody showed me a poll. I've got no idea whether it's accurate or not, that shows him running neck and neck now with Barry Moore.
Yeah, I had that story. That, by the way, y'all, that's the, and it's a, it's a, the poll was done on behalf of a pack that's pro Hudson.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But I mean, yeah, that's, so that doesn't mean it's not true. I just want people to know. And right. Yeah, you're right. 41-40, right?
Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not even sure where Jared Hudson came from. I mean, it surprised me that he made it such a race, because the conventional wisdom was it was easily going to be a more Marshall runoff, and Jared Hudson caught fire.
Man, he hustled, too.
He did hustle. Yeah.
I mean, he was on the show quite a bit. He was around the state quite a bit. I mean, he did hustle.
He absolutely hustled, and so more power to him. It's look, I don't know whether he'll make a good senator if he gets elected, but my goodness, to come in and not have any preset organization, to be running against two basically titans of Alabama politics, or near titans at least, and to make your way into the runoff, that shows some political skill, some hustle, some gumption, some likability, you know, shows a lot of different things, and so that's going to be a fascinating race to see him and Moore in that runoff.
Yeah, the last thing he ran for, the only thing he's run for before, sheriff mm-hmm. of Jefferson County. It's not mm-hmm. like he'd been running state senate or state house races or whatever. So you go from running for the sheriff
and not winning,
running to senate. That's
a leap.
That's big leagues,
right,
man.
And not only has he been around the state and hustled, but you have to give him credit again, like almost like with the gambling interest. They had the money to do what they did, but they did it all wrong. I think when Hudson gets in front of people, he does a lot of things right. Would you not agree with that, Sean? His presentation and his message is pretty good.
And people are looking for alternatives, too. There's one thing, Quinn, you're right. I mean, you have the legacy of political might, these titans. You have name brand. You have things you have done. You have a record of voting and all that stuff. But there's also a spirit of, well, let's try something else.
Yeah.
Let's try something else in this state. I talk to people every day. They're like, yeah, well, maybe this was not going to be as bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, look, it helps. If you've served our country as a Navy SEAL, that's a pretty good seal of, you know, seal of good housekeeping approval, as it were, to use SEAL in a different way. But that's good. And then when you've run an organization dedicated to stopping human trafficking,
yep.
Mm-hmm. That's a good sign. So look, he's got good things that he has done that he can point to, and that reassures people to start with, and then they listen to his presentation. Anyway, it's been fascinating to watch. It's going to be a really interesting runoff between him and Barry Moore, and I've got no idea who's going to win it.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Moore has really not been critical of either of his opponents leading up to the elections last week. It'll be interesting to see if that tone changes at all, or if Moore begins to, and I think, like you talked about with the Navy SEAL thing and the Covenant Rescue angle, he's a hard guy to really attack. So it'll be very interesting, Barry Moore's strategy going forward, Quinn.
Definitely. It's going to be a good race to watch.
Thanks. I know you got to cut out, so appreciate your time this morning, and we'll talk again in a week, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, and also the newspapers and publications and online at NOLA.com as well, The Advocate.
All right, coming up, turn up your voice, 251-343-0106.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Sean in for Dalton this morning. FM Talk 106.5 at 820, nearly 826 on the text line. Roy in Spanish Sports says, my vote was pretty much inverse of the amount of crap I had in my mailbox. I guess we all got a lot of that stuff, right? More than we wanted to. And he also says, I don't think it's about Jared Hudson. I think it's about the negatives of the other two. And you brought up a good point during the commercials there, Sean, that Jared Hudson, maybe one of the things that people can say is a positive is that he's not a career politician.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other hand, he really doesn't have a record.
That's right. So, okay.
So he doesn't have a record, but so is that good or bad?
Okay. So it depends on what campaign you're running. And this is not we want to win or not. This is just the X's and O's of politics, right? So if you've been there, you campaign on, here's my track record, my voting record, the whatever foundation says I have a 99% voting with Trump. And they'll roll these bona fides out, right?
Right.
But then there are some things, votes you took or whatever. Once you do something, it's
on record.
Yeah, it's the man in the arena. Once mm-hmm. you've done something, you're on record for doing it. Well, then if you're running the campaign that you're new, any decision that the opponent made that people didn't like, you could say, well, I wouldn't have made that decision. You could work off the, I wouldn't have done that. I'm going to bring a fresh perspective. So it's fresh perspective versus track record. And that's the battle. Yeah. That's what because I've said this so
many times. Green behind the ears versus experienced.
Right. But I've said this so many times in different races out there, too. In Alabama, I'm like, both of these people, and whatever, not this one, but just whatever race, are going to vote about the same way. Right?
Right.
So then you've got to sell yourself on, I'm going to be better at doing the job than the other person, whatever that would be. But I think this what we're going to hear going forward is going to be fresh perspective, new ideas, person who's not disconnected from everyday life in Alabama with this person's been standing with Trump and serving our state, and he has a track record of that. That's what we're going to hear in this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is going to be.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. And will any of Moore's comments be a little more pointed toward his opponent because they haven't been to this point, or is he just going to talk about? Is Moore going to focus on Moore? He's going to talk about his
trap for him. I mean, there may be some inexperienced comments coming from Moore's campaign,
and that's legit, right?
That's true.
Totally, yeah.
And if you paint that a certain way, that may work. But I don't think you're going to hear Alabama politics never fails to surprise. I don't think you'll hear Barry Moore's camp attacking Jared Hudson, right? Yeah. Well, what are you going to attack?
What are you going to attack?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to hear that. But like I said, once again, Alabama politics never fails to surprise. People were talking about the Harwell Glover race and saying, Michael said, the amount of money Harwell spent on the state Senate seat did not make sense. A casual voter knew someone was behind him. But the one thing about that gambling money in these races, it was, I think Jeff had talked about it before, and I agree with Jeff. They didn't think they were going to win now. I think they were showing their strength going forward.
Just kind of a flex of the muscle?
Yeah, and be like, hey, y'all saw what we did there. In this next election, here's what we plan to do. We come on board. But it's not like there's just some vote to gamble or not in Alabama. It is this long drawn out. The people go, well, I just want a clean lottery. Well, you can want in one hand and legislate in the other. I'll tell you which one fills up first, because the Republicans are now would push this and in control. They don't have enough votes, so they got to work with the Democrats. The Democrats are going to be doing, some of the Democrats are going to be doing what the legacy dog track people want them to do.
They're going to be getting what they want.
Yes, and that's not going to work out with what Republicans and some people supported by PCI want. So it's not a binary choice here.
Yeah, it's a quagmire, and it has been for a long time. It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Sean. Get back to some more of your texts straight ahead.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
8:35, time to talk to our buddy Louis Arata, McConnell Automotive, Dolphin and I-65, where there's a little bit of construction going on out there. Between that and the rain, Lou, you probably don't have to look. Your body shop doesn't have to hunt down those cars that have been hit, I guess, huh?
That's right. I see them. I got here about 7:30 this morning. I done seen two of them come in on a hook. So just tell everybody be careful out there, man. Roads are slick. But if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget McConnell Collision Center. Phone number 251-476-4141. Talk to Rachel. They'll take care of all your needs, help you out with your insurance, and all that stuff. But yeah, we got a great selection of vehicles online. Here, online, check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or come by and see us.
Yeah, I know you got new and used, and those used cars and vehicles and trucks, they're I guess you can get them at auction. They're coming in all the time, and people want to keep up with exactly what you have.
That's right. We're trading stuff in. I mean, we appreciate people that do business with us. We trade them in. We'll buy them. You want to, got something you want to get rid of, just give us a call, 251-476-4141. Ask for Eddie Hicks, Gene Stuckey, or Mike Hatcher. Got three of them here. They're buyers all day long, and they'll buy cars. And said we appreciate the trade-ins we get when people come buy cars from us. And you check it, everything out online. We still have 0% on half-ton trucks. Got 2.9 as well. So just, we're here, so come by and see us.
Sounds good. Louis, tell everybody again where you're located, and I'll talk about that website.
Right off I-65 on Dolphin Street, but be careful going down Dolphin Street because, yep, like you said, they are working on it now.
Shifting lanes. We'll talk again soon. Louis, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
McConnell Automotive, Dolphin and I-65, and of course, online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, shifting lanes thing. I've witnessed that a few times in the last few weeks. The panic when people are like, we're just getting over.
It feels a little bit like a sudden shift, like you're on a roller coaster a little bit. So just be careful.
I somehow navigated it. By the way, too, mentioned this earlier, but y'all need to check out our Facebook page, as always. And by the way, make sure to vote for our Facebook page and the Nappies when you also vote for your favorite radio station and shows and all that good stuff. But if you go to our Facebook page, Leanna over the weekend posted photos and video from Battleship Memorial Park, where Dan was talking about being yesterday. So Leanna was out there earlier in the day. And
she beat me there by about 5 hours.
Yeah, she was there very early, so you could watch the time lapse there. But featuring the Alabama Poppy Project we talked about last week, that goes on through today at Battleship Memorial Park. And this is first year at Battleship Memorial Park. It's been up in the Prattville area in the past. They say, here's from the people who put it together, Julian and Stephen Hansen. Every year since 2020, they sponsored the Alabama Poppy Project to honor those individuals with a handmade ceramic poppy placed in a large field in historic downtown Prattville during the week of Memorial Day. So they've been doing it this year now, brought it down here in our neck of the woods. So it's really pretty. If you see those pictures, those are handmade painted ceramic poppies honoring our war dead. So those are there, and you can look at the pictures of that and the videos on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. Also, while we're talking about the conversation we had with Quinn a little bit earlier, texter saying, hey, I was listening to you and Quinn's, y'all's and Quinn's analysis of the gambling issue. That hurt folks like Quinn's theory, that it hurt folks like Greg Allbritton and Matt Simpson. I really don't know how big that was. Quinn thinks it is, but the texter says, what I haven't heard is that Greg Allbritton and others lost a lot of support in the veteran community over their voting for SB 67. Remember this? And we talked about where the political outfall would be from that. You know, it politicized veterans' affairs. Remember, everything went there.
Oh, yeah.
It's veterans all over the state voted against the candidates who had supported SB 67. I heard it everywhere.
Wow,
and with nearly 400,000 veterans in the state, their votes were enough to swing several elections. So
yeah, crazy that it stuck like that. It stuck in their minds, and they took it to the polling places. And, you know, it'd be interesting.
That one's binary. See, that's the thing about the gambling thing. It's so nuanced because just because one person gets in or doesn't, it doesn't change whether Alabama's have gambling or a lottery. It's a lot more layers to that. But people that voted for SB 67 that handed the governor's office, you know, control over Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, yes, that's pretty bright. Either they did or didn't vote that way.
How does Ivy remain, seems to be, popular in the state? It's all at her feet.
Charity.
So there's no vote. We don't, you know, Ivy's gonna, she's out of office here very soon. Would she be able to, would she have politically survived all of that? Because if you have politicians around the state taking a hit because of their stance on that, but the governor herself, would she survive it all?
I think if she was running again, there would be a mounted campaign about that. Mm. And I don't think she would win. If I was somebody, she's not running. But if I was a Republican candidate for governor and I was running against Kay Ivey, I would absolutely run that ad. Here's what happened to Alabama veteran. Oh, big time.
Yeah, I really didn't know. Maybe you did. I didn't realize it would have that much of a lasting effect where people were going to remember it and take it to the polls.
Like specifically veterans, too, which are 400,000 in our state.
Who generally vote, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's really some thought to that.
Wrong feelings.
That one's more of a binary choice.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, they're for gambling against. You know what? Somebody could be for gambling, and if you're against gambling, you still vote for them because knowing they're not going to be able to do anything about it. You know, but this is either they voted for SB 67 or not, and that's important. So that's an interesting conversation. Also, on Memorial Day, I started talking about this in the 6 o'clock hour, and I've been doing it for years on the station. Usually, I talk about it going into the Memorial Day weekend, and I didn't this year. Not like this audience needs to know it, but once again, y'all be prophets and go out and spread the message. Quit shooting fireworks on Memorial Day. I saw this. So I'm going to go first to a veteran here, Fire Dog. Said, I disagree with you every year, and he does. He and I go back and forth. He's a veteran. I am not. I did not serve. He said, I disagree with you every year on the fireworks, Sean. If I hadn't made it back, I'd want everybody sitting around. I'd want fireworks. I'd want barbecue, and I'd want lots of beer. I get that. You know, Fire Dog, as a veteran, can say that. It's bothered me forever that we get to Memorial Day. And once again, I'm fireworks positive. Mm-hmm. I'm into fireworks. I love it. Just not on Memorial Day. And this one, Irish Indian says, Sean and Dan, not only fireworks, we should be sensitive to veterans that are still with us and giving them thanks on Memorial Day. It's a sad day for them in a lot of cases. Yeah, it's not a fireworks day.
Well, here's the thing about the fireworks, Sean. I think what, again, all sets you off about the fireworks, no pun intended, but there it was, is the fact that it's so 180 degrees from what Memorial Day should be. Now, Fire Dog's got his opinion. That's fine. And he's a veteran and I'm not. And that's great. But I think that what Memorial Day is supposed to be, and generally is a day of more silent prayer, reflection, and again, words that are chosen carefully to mark the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fireworks not included in any of what I just said.
And by the way, too, just to be consistent, I would defend their rights to, like all my neighbors that were shooting them off yesterday, I'll defend their right to do it. They have the liberty to do it. I can just also say I don't feel it's the right day to do it.
Well, it's not like they're trying to rub your nose in it. Like, I'm going to be Bart Simpson. We're going to have fireworks, even though it's Memorial Day, and that goes against what Memorial Day is all about. It's one of the things that may irritate you about it, it does me, even though I'm not hearing them like you are, but it's almost kind of like an ignorance.
It's
like,
just ignorance. I don't think it's done with malice.
Right.
It's done with ignorance, you know, and I don't know, it's just, I'm not going to stop them from doing it. It's just maybe the word gets out like, yeah, y'all cool it. Wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you got some stuff you want, go shoot that tomorrow.
You know, then, you know, you can celebrate the beginning of summer and all that stuff, but not on Memorial Day itself. Thank you. Also, Jason said there's nothing pro-American about popping off Chinese fireworks anytime,
brother.
In my opinion. So that's Jason on the text line.
Yeah, well, we need some American-made fireworks, but, you know, we'll see.
We could use
that. That would be, okay, if I run for office, that's going to be one of my platforms.
I like it.
What I'm going to do is I want to bring, that's my campaign voice. What I want to do is bring fireworks back to the United States. Even though we took them from China early on, when we decided to celebrate our nation's independence by shooting off fireworks, to hell with that history. We are making American fireworks, dang it. And we're going to pop them, we're going to make them and shoot them right here. I like it.
How, now you talk about this is my, I'm running for office voice.
That's right, Dan. I'm regular Alabama guy running for office.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yes?
How close have you come in this career or this life of yours to having to use that voice? To having that Sean was going to run for office at one point. How close have you ever come to that?
that I was going to. I've been solicited before.
Yeah.
And I've said no.
Well, so let's talk about what went into the thought process. Did you say no that right away?
That I had a full-time gig here and couldn't do that. Plus, I mean, I didn't want to do that. I mean, it would be, if I ever did that, I mean, the press conference would start off when I'd go, okay, here's all the stuff I've done, y'all.
So
before you, here's all this. So before the Oppo research, let me just tell you, y'all look at the board behind me here.
Let's get ahead of them on that one. Right?
So you see right here, we'll show video. Here it is. I just go ahead and tell y'all everything. You know,
how much of the audio that would be available of you?
I have said these things
for years. Could be used against you in some way.
I think it'd be a positive, but some people might see it as a negative. Mm-hmm. You know, but mm-hmm. I think it'd be a positive. But no, I have not. I've not had to use that voice yet. So,
We talked about tunnels,
yes,
towers. Now we're also talking about tunnels, as in two of them are right here in downtown Mobile, Government Street, and also the Wallace Tunnel on I-10. And now they may go away.
I don't know. So the story is, if y'all didn't catch this, it came out on Friday. Actually, the story hit LandNetMobile.com on Saturday. Headline here from Scott Johnson: despite funding measure, ALDOT says it has no plans to close the tunnels. And for somebody who does this for a living, I was like, when did we start talking about this?
Right.
So the story goes this way. Removal of two tunnel routes under the Mobile River could be on the table per an announcement by U.S. Representative Shamari Figures. But state agencies say they're not aware that any such plans exist. So Figures announced on Friday he successfully added language to the Build America 250 Act that would make the removal of the tunnels restricting maritime traffic make it eligible for federal funding during the replacement bridge projects.
Mm-hmm.
However, such an initiative is in stark contradiction with the plans for the tolled I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project. And to make matters stranger, port and highway officials and the city of Mobile say they were unaware of any plans to remove the tunnels, and that was not requested. So, and also, I mean, so these are, as you talk about the bridge project, remember, they would be the free alternative routes.
Yeah.
Even though early on they talked about tolling the tunnel.
But let's say this then. The only talk that the tunnels were part of in all this discussion about the bridge, mm-hmm. the Bayway, the only talk that they was the possible tolls or not, and also that they were going to be there as legitimate ways where you could other options to cross.
Yeah. I mean,
there was no talk of the tunnels being removed at all.
No, the benefit of the bridge too was like, okay, let's add another way to get over or under the Mobile River.
It seemed to be right.
I mean, right now you have three. You got Africatown Bridge. I mean, I guess you could go up and around, but let's talk about right here. So you got Africatown Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Wallace, and you have the Bankhead.
Yep.
Right. So then you would add the bridge in. Now we got four.
Right.
That helps to get across. But if this happened, you would be left with, I guess, Africatown and then the new bridge. But why would you remove?
Options.
It says, well, the money's there. And it's and here's part of this. So the description of the amendment in a press release from Figures' office stated it would allow funding for bridge projects across the country to include the removal or modification of tunnels and related highway structures that restrict ship operations. So this is for the entire country, this Build America 250.
Right.
It also then specifically referenced the Port of Mobile.
It does.
So because they're saying that they didn't reference these tunnels specifically by name in it, but it says this project, and then it says tunnels. Well, these are the two tunnels, right? It says in this press release, currently, large container ships, this is coming from Figures' office, currently large container ships are unable to use the entire Port of Mobile, this is true, the deepest container port in the Gulf, because a tunnel that runs through the river. This amendment opens the door to federal funding for the tunnel's removal to maximize the capacity and impact of the Port of Mobile. The deepening and widening of the port's shipping channel was just completed late last year, enabling larger ships to access the Mobile River through the bay. However, the ships are limited to facilities south of the Wallace Tunnel.
Hmm.
When reached for comment on this, the Port of Mobile said they were unaware of any plans to change that. So, and then Tony Harris with Aldott said the department has not discussed removing the tunnel either.
And the city,
and the
of,
city
Mobile?
Of Mobile said, well, they had never heard of this either.
So, yeah.
By the way, let's even go further. Mobile County Commission President Connie Hudson said the county had no prior knowledge of Representative Fitcher's action, but would certainly study his proposal and meet with him to discuss it because we understand the vital importance of continuing to improve the county's transportation infrastructure. Well, to me, transportation infrastructure means more ways to get over or under the river. But you have an issue here, right? And somebody was asking earlier, it's probably, I don't know, let's say it's 30 feet of mud and dirt between the lowest level of the Mobile River there and mm-hmm. to the top of the tunnel. But, you know, if you removed it, you could dredge it even deeper there. But that's just getting ships in. What about all the people that are trying to go east and west?
That's what the talk of the bridge and the bayway is all about, is the people trying to get east to west.
And now this thing, just because there's money might be for it, maybe that's not the right idea. I don't know. I want to hear from y'all.
At text line 251-343-0106, let us know what you think about all this. Kind of hit us from behind a little bit this morning. 852 with Dan and Sean in for Dalton. Stop me if I
never stop. Turn up your voice on the text line 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Good morning, 855. Jeff Forshow on the way. On the text line, our buddy C.B. Carl says, good morning, guys. Also, Memorial Day is not the day to say thank you for your service
right.
to a veteran. Memorial Day is for remembering the sacrifices of the fallen. And you can even feel free to thank a veteran all 364 other days. Just leave Memorial Day for the fallen.
And four.
And there you go. So, and speaking of Memorial Day, here's what I do know. Thank you very much for this text from that young lady that I met yesterday at Battleship Memorial Park, Sarah. It looks like the memorial, or the, I should say, the steel across America came in from Miami, and it got to Mobile yesterday. There's a few more days left before it makes its way to Baton Rouge. Their next stop is going to be the campus of LSU. That's May 28th. So I'm going to guess that the that it's probably still there today if you want to check it out.
And the Poppy Project still today,
yeah,
through today.
Yeah. You know, you can if you see me out in public, wail away at me if I'm wrong on this and you drove down with the gas prices being $4.50 a gallon. My bad, but I think it's probably going to be there today.
I'm sorry, I'm stuck on one of the text here, and you know, it's pictures. You know, this is a picture making me laugh. We could put it, but I'll describe it. This comes from Haywood, and I don't know where this is in town, but he said, text says many questions. It also sums up the job market. The sign hanging here, Dan, if you saw it, it says now. Okay, this is looking for workers. Now we hiring. Now we. Not we are hiring.
We
no. It says we hiring.
We hiring.
I don't know what. Thank you, Haywood. That may be the
do you want to go to work for them? It's the question.
It cracks me. That's the maybe the best thing I've seen today in a picture wise. That is beautiful. Let's see.
Hey, got a big Tuesday was Jerry Carl, by the way. He's a guest on the Jeff Poor Show today.
And he was on Midday Mobile as well. Just okay. To plug shows. I mean, you're out of town. You know, no way to know.
I didn't know. But then, anyway, Jerry's first up at 9:30 this morning on the Jeff Poor Show.
Yeah, and coming up on Midday Mobile today, so Todd Stacey will join me, also April Marie Fogel. Yeah. And then in the 1 o'clock hour, it's this really cool guy. His name Gary Jarvis, and I met him about a month and a half ago, and he's working with groups here for prescribed burning, the stuff, you know, I do at the farm, yeah. And you see around the prescribed burns. But he's a homeboy, but came back home after working with the Forest Service, working on forest fires all over the country, some of the biggest fires. He's just back from California. He is, while he worked as one of the crews that would work on fire lines for these big forest fires,
yeah.
Then as he got older, as we all do, moved him in different positions. He is a fire forecaster. And he, wait till you're here, 1 o'clock hour today on the show. The guy is fascinating. He can take the information from like the Weather Service, local fuel conditions in the woods, and forecast the fire will be here by Monday, here by Tuesday. It'll track there on Wednesday. It'll go this way on Thursday. It's an amazing thing. Plus, he's got the
sports. Well, it's amazing if he's right.
He worked out of Washington, D.C. for a while, but he's from Washington County.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's going to join me at 1 o'clock today. Really, I can't wait to talk to him.
I'm trying to think if I've ever heard of that occupation.
He and I were walking in the woods, and we had a long walk out because I lost pretty much the front end of the woods truck I have. So we had to walk out about a mile and something. He taught me all about it. Wait till you hear this at 1 o'clock. So that's coming up today on Midday Mobile.
Interesting. Jeff Poore next, 8:59. Back with you in the morning, beginning at 6:00.